Wow, thank you. Thank you, Ross, and Mark, and Jim, and Orion, Natalia. I don't think I missed anyone. That was powerful. Hey, can the pastor ever get up and say, oh, Saturday night, I didn't want to come do this? Yeah, you've been there? Yeah. So we're going through 1 John. And we're a little weird, so maybe we're going pretty slow. But I'll tell you what God is. Here's what happened last week. God's doing something. So here's the warning, okay? If there was a warning label, this would be on this sermon's warning label. That's this. I'm not exaggerating to say I've had in contact with probably 20 to 25 of you. This is one person who the light has come for you this week. And so when I preach, you're going to think I'm talking about you. Well, I kind of am, and me too, because I'm probably the 26th. And that's not a lie or an exaggeration. So I know that God is doing something with 1 John. I know that he's doing something. That's right, see, he's coming to the rescue. Right? He is coming to the rescue. That's what this is. That's what the light is a rescue. And so if you're one of those 25 people that I know about, or probably the other 25 who didn't tell me anything about what's going on, but the light's coming for you, praise God, it is a rescue. And so we're just going to keep going forward faithfully, okay? But let's just come before the Lord before we jump in, okay? Lord, what would you have us talk about? What would you have us do today? I give you all the preparation. I give you this entire week. We just breathe, Lord. We know that you are faithful and powerful and good. We know that we're all in process. And so I just think today's going to be another day where you're processing and working and saving us. So rescue us, Lord. Don't let silly me get in the way, Lord, but speak through me. Speak through John. Speak through any illustration. Speak through the people sitting next to you. Speak through the people in the back of the room ready to pray for anyone that needs it and praying right now. I pray this, Jesus, in your name, in your authority, in your power. Amen. So John, we're 1 John covering 7 through 10 today. Let's look at this as it is. John, which was one of the physically closest friends of Jesus as he walked the earth, he's writing to people who believe. And here in the first century, right, they're trying to walk out following Christ, following God. And it's not easy, right? It's not easy. And I think you and I know that that's true. So we're going to kind of talk about that today. But I think we can't lose track of that reality that this was a man who was given words by God written to other people. And based on what Jesus said and is recorded by John in John 17, like all these things that Jesus was doing was not only for his disciples there, not the 12 that were close to him, or, you know, you can break it up into different groups, a group of 75 or a group of 120 or, you know, 144,000, whatever numbers you want to take out of the Bible. This is truth and God's word for everyone who would believe because of those 12. And so I'm one that believes because of John. And I think you are too. And so let's go back to this letter and see what's going on. We're going to talk about this standing in the light. And no surprise attack. What I want us to do, we talked last week about this reality that God is going to shine light in the shadows. And he's going to call us out of shady behavior. Now, what do we do now that we stepped out? What do we do? What is it to stand in the light? So let's backtrack a little bit. John, 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we have heard from him. Who's him? Jesus. Okay, we're going to do this together. So go ahead, you speak up if you think of something. If you think I'm off, say stop. You're way off, Will. Slow down, whatever. We're going to learn this together. I'm just going to keep going until Jesus comes back. So if we just get through some of it today and we keep going, cool. Deal? Okay. Or Jesus says, stop. And proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We've heard it, right? We've heard it a lot. Okay, light. Let's stop a second. What have we learned so far about light? What's that? Absence of dark, right? So if I was just making some notes, and I'm kind of making these for myself probably more than anything here. So if I go light, okay, what else about light? So it's absence of dark. What's that? Illuminates. You have to excuse my bad handwriting. Illuminates, or someone else said something else. Reveals. Yeah, let's go with that. What else? Over here, what did you say over here? No shadow. And then there was something on the other side too. Shows what's hiding in the dark. Oops. Shows us the way. Makes us safe. Is that what you said? Makes us saved. Okay. Shows us the way. Makes us saved. So if you can't read it, it's okay. It's going to be notes for me. Reveals it, brings about truth, you said? Yeah. Brings us truth. Okay, cleansing. Cleansing and shows us our, and shows us our fears aren't real. Nice. Destroys darkness. Cool, revealing, yep. So then what, God is light? Energy, nice, okay. Okay, there's a messy list that you're not gonna be able to read on the screen at home or in person. But it'll help me to refer back to that. So I think this is a, we've got a pretty good list here. You guys are smart. Maybe we don't even need to go through this. What's that? It's warm and comforting. Yeah, yeah. So these are true. So what we're talking about here is all these things are, we're saying, okay, the absence of darkness. Light is energy. Light illuminates, it reveals. It shows us the way. No shadows. It shows us what's hiding. It actually makes us saved, so it cleanses, right? It brings us about truth, or brings us to truth. It's cleansing. It shows us our fears aren't real. It destroys darkness, and God is light. Another thing about that that I think is really a true statement is that light would be, as light could be called, you know, the absence of darkness, darkness could be called the absence of light. Because the thing about reality, what's true is true, right? When you're a kid and you're worried about what's in your closet, when you turn the light on, those things don't appear in your closet. Is that fair to say? They were already there. And what was there didn't disappear when the light came on. True? Most of the time, unless someone was hiding in there and then they hid. But they really didn't disappear, they hid. So darkness is the absence of light. Okay, therefore, anything that goes against God's way is a way of darkness. So take that step with me. If God is light, and light and darkness don't exist in the same moment, right? It's either light or it's dark. Then darkness is not where God is. Like, that's important to say. That, and let's make it simple. Darkness is not where God is. The shadows is not where God's hanging out. You want to go into the shadows or into the darkness, that's where the things exist that are trying to hide from God. So anything, therefore, that goes against God's way is actually a way of darkness. There's no middle ground. That's what we were talking about, right? Shady behavior is to say, well, I know this is wrong, but not so bad. So God, if darkness is against God, God would never go against himself. So do you see the foolishness of what's happening here? Let me give you kind of another picture here, just for fun, because I think it helps illustrate. We've got a little light here, and we did this before. And what happens is when it comes to light, light shines, right? It reveals, it illuminates, it does all of those things, it purifies, but it can be blocked, right? Where God can't, but the idea of light and it traveling can be blocked. And if you could really look at this closely, what you're going to find is there's really three elements here. The first one is light. And out here, I'm in the light. You can probably see it shining off my head, right? I'm in the light and it's surrounding me right now. You can see if there's something on my back, right? You can see if there's something on my hands, on my head, on my front, my sides, my shoes, right? Oh, right, dust out. You can see what's really there. Now, if there's a part of me that I don't want seen, then what's happened is this is a reality of life. I try to put those things in the shadows, right? Like you take your selfies. This is my best angle. So in the picture, only your best angle is illuminated, right? And the worst part is in the shadow or in the darkness. And then really, we think of it in terms of there's the shadows, which is like, God's a little indifferent to the shadows. And then there's the dark, right? Like I'm way in the dark hiding from God. And so there's three really existences that we're talking about here. We're talking about the shadows, the dark, the shadows, and the light. And what I would present to you, one of the problems that John saw, which I see, and the people around me, right, that we're talking about, Brandy and I, we've been talking about this a lot at our house too, is just, wow, man, how much Christian reality, Christian church reality is just shadow living. Do you realize that? It's really shadow living. And I think God is revealing that to us more and more in these communities that we're walking in. I mean, you can see it throughout the world, and it's like, it's we want one foot in the world, which you know the world's darkness, right? And God's way is light. And so we're still stuck in thinking we're supposed to go into the darkness to pull things out into the light. We're still stuck in thinking we stay in the darkness and say, God, pull me out of the light. And so Christian living is this. Christian living, honestly, in North America is this. I'm kind of in the shadows, and then on Sunday or Wednesday night or whenever, I simply want to bring out stuff into the light and then keep other things in the dark. And what is it? It's fake. It's tiring. But to your credit, like, I don't think you even know that you're doing that. I don't think, you know how I know that? Because I don't realize how much I do that. And I say that to you, not to wallow in the shadows with you, but with a serious passion and a desire to step out into the light. And holler, please step out into the light with me. Because you guys, we don't want to be in there, not even in the shadows. Because do you realize that a politician can say they're a Christian, but their motives for what they're doing is simply greed and fame and power? That's not Christian. That's shadow living. You can wear a cross necklace and be a professional athlete and commit a crime, and that's not Christian living. That's like darkness. I could be a pastor and preach to you, right? And then have serious character issues, be cheating on my wife. That's darkness, guys. That's shadow living. That's simply all of us saying, hey, brother, how's it going? And all of us are just sort of carrying our little shadow boxes around, right? And then you're like, oh, man, I read my daily devotion. Let me show you what it is. And then we put the rest of it in the shadow, right? And we're just keep, let me show you. Let me show you the good things. And some of us are doing that intentionally, but some of us don't even realize that what the, like the turtle shell we're carrying around with us. And we just poke out whatever it is that we feel confident in. And so we do these things like, man, like, it's a little alarming what the Christian culture can be so concerned about and how not in line it is with what God tells us in the Bible, right? Like, seriously. I mean, if I keep going, then I'm going to get off track, so I don't want to keep going, but the light will reveal some of these things in you and in me that are in these shadows and in this darkness. But you've got to understand that the closer we are to these shadows, something else has our attention. And that's just maddening, right? Isn't that a maddening existence? You're like, Lord, help me. And like, I see it on your faces every week. Like, Lord, help. I don't even know what's going on, but Lord, help me. Like, rescue me. But you're half in the shadows. And so you got two voices, like so many voices, the whole world whispering in this ear, and then God and the Holy Spirit whispering in this ear. And then why in the world could we act in any other way than a mad, insane people, double-minded, swaying each way with the waves? But that's not the God that we serve. So John goes on to say in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with, the word fellowship, it means are in agreement with, unity with, close to, right? Brandy, you've been talking a lot, studying a lot about this unity with God. That's what Adam and Eve were born into. You get that? That's what you were created, designed, engineered to do, to be a friend of God, to walk with God, to have unity with God. And don't let the mysticism of that scare you from it. You and God have conversations. You don't send letters. You get that? Like, he speaks to you. He lives in you. This is so intimate, and we don't even walk that way. I don't even walk that way most of the time. So if we say we're going the same direction with him, if we say we're close to him, if we say we're in agreement with him, but we're in the dark, then we lie. We lie. And we do not practice the truth. Well, that leads to a really good question, guys. Just get practical and real. What do you do if you're called out of the darkness by the light? What happens in that moment where you're like, oh, dang, I didn't realize what I had in the shadow there, right? Oh, man. And that's the Holy Spirit, right? Because one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he was sent to convict the world of righteousness, sin, and judgment. Like, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the light of God to you and says, Will, that's kind of shady. What do you do? What do we do? Guilt and shame. Oh, you're right, God. I'm awful. And you step out. You're right, God. Forgive me. And then what do we do? Then it gets hard. It gets difficult. It gets painful. And then we got to get back where it's warm, where we know. We go back to it. But that's not what the Bible says. See, I think it gets hidden in Bible words. There's words like repent and sin. But the truth about the shadows is the reason why you're hiding it is because you know, like, it's not 100% on the up and up, right? I know in those things. Let me give you an example. By the looks of me, you can tell one thing. I'm what the doctors call overweight, okay? Or I might have a little bit of a weight problem, okay? I've had that issue like my whole life, and it's my fault, right? It's really the way that I would eat or exercise. Now, I have a thin wife who doesn't have that same problem. And so she had to reveal to me, God's like, she's like, when you eat something, like you're eating like a candy bar, you look like you're ashamed. Right? Okay, I know I'm not looking at you, but some of you are like, dude, I know, right? Like, I'm like, really? Yeah, well, are you hiding it? No, I'm just eating this ice cream or this candy bar. Is it evil and wrong to eat a candy bar or some ice cream? No. But I know I haven't handled that in my life the way that God would handle it. And so you realize, wow, right? And I know that seems so vanilla, like, well, that's really vanilla. No, but this is it. This is like liar, right? And that's what she's like. It's like, what are you hiding? You're a liar. And that's what this is. You're like, okay, just come on out. Guys, I'm eating a candy bar. Not five of them, just one. Okay, cool, right? It's not in the dark. It's in the light, right? Like you do these things. Guys, look at, God bless me with this money. Isn't this awesome? Instead of like, ooh, my precious, my money, and then shadows, right? Like, yes, me and my wife, we had sex, yes. Instead of like, oh, let's go to the prostitute in the darkness, right? There's a different way in which we do this. When you're ashamed and when you know it's not right, you do it in the shadows in the dark. And instead, what we do is we take whatever the candy bar is and we do this thing. Hey, brothers. Hey, yeah. I'm good. What? On my face? Oh, no, nothing. Right? That's how we're living. Whatever it is that we're doing. And I'm saying this to you not to condemn you, but because if we want to grow, and so sin is that. Sin is like, this is God's way. Bring it into the light and just be honest. Bring it into the light and just be honest. And so what we have to do in order to stop this cycle, because you're like, hey, are you eating a candy bar, Will? Yeah, I'm ashamed. I know. Then the next day you get up and get in the shower, you look at yourself and you're like, dang it, I want a candy bar, right? And then you go right back in. And this is what it happens with everything, with your money, with your fear. Fear is the most underhanded. So many of you live in fear. I live in fear so much of the time. And we don't talk about that enough because fear just says, God, I don't trust you. I mean, could there be anything worse you do to God who created you, saved you, and loved you than to say, I don't trust you? And that's what most of these sins are, right? Here's what God wants us to do. He says this is the way to life and the way to do that. We're not obedient to him. We're disobedient. Why? Because we're saying, God, I don't think you have my best interest in mind. I think you're lying to me. I don't trust you. So the Bible talks about this thing that we do to get out of that. And they use a word like repentance or confession, right? We confess something, so we say it in agreement with, like, I agree with this. And we repent, so we change our mind or change the direction in which we're walking. So it always begins with that. It's like you get called out of the dark. You don't say, Jesus, come drag me out. That's what this is. You're like, you're just sitting here crying all day, right? Step. It's like Brady was saying, man, we got to step forward, right? Sometimes you just got to take that first step. God's calling me. I step out. Like, I know. And you're going to feel shame and you're going to feel guilt because you did something wrong. Here I am, God, in the light. And the first thing you do is you decide, that's not who I want to be. There's a word called renouncing that. The renouncing word means, like, I'm not agreeing to that anymore. I'm not teaming myself up that. I'm not partnering myself. I'm not connecting myself with that. That thing that I was doing, I don't want to be part of that anymore. I'm making that choice, so I step forward. And now, Lord, the one who loves me, who's given me the Holy Spirit, you got to help me change my mind. Change my mind. Then I'll continue to walk in a different direction. You don't walk in a different direction without a changed mind. You're going to walk the same direction again. Like, you keep reaching in the cookie jar and your mom smacks your hand until you decide, okay, I don't want the cookie anymore. You're not going to stop reaching in there. Maybe for a minute, but as soon as she looks away, you're going to go again and she's going to smack your hand. And this is our life with God. Yay, right? Cookie jar, right? Yeah, this is the way that we're living. So we walk in the other direction. When the guilt, when the shame comes, we walk in the other direction. And the other direction is God's way. But here's the challenge. I mean, how do you know God's way if you don't have union with him? I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why it's good that we're getting together here. Because we can encourage one another. And the reason for those of you who have other people that live with you, whatever relationship they are, they're a great mirror and reflection into these shady parts of you. My kids, my wife, a great reflection to me about the shady behavior that I have. And really a rescue. Rescue is the word. That's what God's doing with the light. He is rescuing us. Because we don't even see what's really going on. So when we walk out of that, we end up going God's way instead. We end up going God's way instead. Because the truth, let me go back to that candy illustration. Out in the light, pure confession. If you hide food, okay, and it's going to be the same thing with sex, drugs, fear, and you don't get it out in the open, it grows. It becomes a monster. That's where the monster lives. You know that, right? In the darkness, the monster that gets a hold of you. Whether it's your fear, it's a fear monster. It's a lust monster. It's a greed monster. It's a pride monster. But the minute you hold on to those parts of you and you dip into the shadows, that monster grabs a hold of you. And so it works like this, right? You're a kid like me, and here's the tale of two kids, okay? Brandy and I are exactly the same age, 7 days apart. Grew up in the same town, went to the same elementary school. Probably trick-or-treated at some of the same houses. We'd bring our bags home. And me, like what I would do is I would eat it real fast because it's almost like I didn't want the appearance that I was eating it. So instead of eating like one bar, you'd eat a bunch, and a few days your candy's gone. Brandy's the kid who had no fear or shame over that, so she just would pop out and pop a piece of candy. What would happen? What would you have to do with the candy? Throw it out. She wouldn't get through all of it. And see, that's the same thing, right? Like, you want money to support yourself, but when you get obsessed with it, right, then it becomes a monster more than you ever intended. Sexually, you have desires and needs, but once the monster gets hold of that, then you're doing really crazy crap, and it's like you need that every single day. When you're afraid, but you let the fear, fear, right? A certain amount of fear is good. Don't touch the fire. It will burn, right? Don't go against God. There is correction for those he loves. There's good fear, but when you're so afraid that you're paralyzed, the fear monster got a hold of you. So Jesus says, walk in the other direction. Just say, hey, I'm afraid. Hey, I'm struggling, God. And the people that he's brought to you, the people who are actually walking out life with you, those are the people you should be calling. And I know this because I haven't always done this, and I'm really trying to do this. We're really trying to do this. Right, Jackie? That's right, right? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want life. It's not in there, it's out here. So what do? We're walking out into the light. This is where I would probably fall short most of the time, and most sermons would fall short. Walk into the light. Some of the things that the light does, right? It exposes that, exposes the darkness. It shows you the blemishes that you have on yourself. And at first, you're going to feel sorry, you're going to feel guilt, and you're going to feel shame. Is that okay that you feel all those things, right? You feel regret for what you've done. Okay? We in agreement? Okay. Staying there, though, is this. You're right. I'm awful. Nobody loves me. It's actually going back into the shadows. And you're not hearing God. Or you're hearing God and this. And so you go to church every Sunday and you're tormented. The truth is, you have to stay in the light. But here's the problem with light. Once I started shaving my head, I could really see this. Light can be really harmful, right? It burns. So sometimes you need this kind of protection from burn. And so we get things like a little sunscreen, right? And then, you guys don't know the joy of that. It feels pretty good. It's refreshing. But you get a little sunscreen, and you have to kind of protect yourself so you don't get burned. Well, everything in this world, you realize, is a picture of a reality in heaven. And so the light burns. A first responder friend of mine, he said when they were dealing with some COVID equipment, they would use an ultraviolet ray, like high-powered ultraviolet light to kill the virus. And they would use that to purify. But could you imagine how much that would burn? Like, if that mask had feelings, how much that would burn to get the virus burned off you? That hurts. And this is what it's like with you and I. Like, when we go out in that sun, we put protection on so that that sun won't burn. They gave us a ridiculous list of things to try to do this building so it doesn't catch on fire and burn down, right? And the real world, these fires will burn you down. The sun will give you skin cancer, they tell us, and it burns you. But the light of God, it is a light that exposes, but it burns away, it purifies, and that hurts. And so I think what we need to be telling one another is it hurting? And I think that's what I'd say to those 25 people, like God's been saying to me. It's all right that it stings a little bit, Will. And when it's stinging, when you're in the light, here's what you can't do. Because here's what's going to happen. Over from the shadows, Will, that hurts, man. That's not true. You're not so bad. Come on back over here. We got cookies, right? That's what's happening. And so when you're in that light and it's burning, there's every ounce of your flesh, every part of the world is going to tell you that's not so bad. Come in the shade. But you got to walk out, but also you got to stand in the light. Because before you walk, you have to stand. You ever been part of raising kids, you'll see that, right? They crawl, and then they stand before they can walk. So, I mean, continuing on from last week, I have to encourage you, one, to come out of the light, but to warn you, this stings. Because what God is doing is he's burning the virus, he's burning the imperfections. He's showing you. And as time goes, there'll be new little glimpses, right, Brady? You were just sharing with me too this week about it feels like the more time you spend in the light under that illumination, then there's like new things that God brings up and it changes your mind more and more. It's like layers of things. And pretty soon, some of the things that you used to maybe even enjoy or look to, you can't anymore because your mind has just changed. It's just changing and changing because as you stand in the light, you're like, oh, wow, I have that freckle here. I didn't even realize that. I'm always jumping in and out of the shadows so much I didn't realize that. I didn't realize I was hiding when I had a bowl of ice cream, right? I didn't realize when I saw like a pretty girl, I was kind of like looking and I look away like this and creep them out, right? Like both of those things I've done. And Brandon's like, well, that was kind of creepy. Well, what do you mean? I was just trying not to look at her. Yeah, but that looked weird. Oh, wow. Holy cow, in the light. And honestly, I just kind of went back in the dark and like, oh man, I feel ashamed. When I should have stayed in the light, and I'm like, you're right. And God can't do that. Like, if we have ice cream today, I need to just proudly eat it, right? Responsibly. Just the two scoops or whatever it is in the bowl, right? Just eat it and not be ashamed. And if I see a pretty girl, just look at her in the face and then say, hey, and then look away and don't look at the rest of her body, right? Because I already have a wife. That's what you do. You don't hide. You stay in the light. And we're there to point it out, but not to condemn each other, because God will, through the Holy Spirit, convict you. And then God will sustain you. Here's the cool thing about standing in the light. Remember where God is at? Where's he at? Yeah, well, he is, but not. He can see into the darkness, and he shines in the darkness to get you out, but he's not going in there. That's not where he's hanging out. He's in the light. You want his help? Stop crying out from the darkness. Come into the light where he is. Come into the light where he is. That's what we need, guys. And the thing is, you know what? The people like me who are talking to you got to quit shaming you about it because we're just as bad. But hopefully, I'm going to keep telling you more and more about victories, right? I believe there's going to be victories for us in this. The fact that one little sermon like that, that God's speaking to, got to be 30, 40 people probably, where he's like shining the light on things. Well, what are we going to do? Okay, so question, Brady, based on our conversation. I'm putting you on, see, this is why, this is the fine print in the marriage contract. She never read. So God shines a light, you become aware of something. One choice is to do something about it, right? And then once you go to step and do something about it, then God will help you. What's the other choice? What would you say the other choice is? There's not a right answer, so. Hide, right? And then what's going to happen if you hide or don't deal with it? Right. The small problem is going to become bigger than it was before. And then you're going to end up having to do what later on? Keep going through it. You know? It's like this. If God has shown you, like, man, you got, wow, you come with the light, you got water on your hand, Will. Oh, dang, I'm ashamed I got water on my hand. And you're in here. And then every once in a while, he's like, Will, you still got water on your hand. It's just going to keep doing that. Until at some point in time, you're like, you know what? I got water on my hand. I'm going to stay out here and dry this baby off. And that's what we keep doing. We're learning the same lessons over and over again. And that's why we have to have this conversation today. Because if, like, I mean, understand, in a room of like 30 or of 100 people, of like 30 people I know, God's shining some light, trying to ask you to do things differently. I for sure want all 30 of us to do some things differently. You start doing that, then you don't need Bible tracts. You get this? You don't need programs. You don't need tricks. You don't need magical bracelets that remind you. No offense to any of those things. Your life is light. And light is your life. You're like a beaming witness. That's how this thing was supposed to be set up. And as you go down this road, he's going to reveal more and more things and ask you to release more and more things. And your neighbor might not be on the same page as you. So you're going to have to remember what it was like in the shadows. Right? You're going to have to understand that there's certain blemishes on your neighbor, on your friend, on your spouse, on your kids, on your loved one that they haven't seen yet, and maybe you see them. And maybe God wants to use you to help point it out, but maybe he doesn't. And maybe you can all have this fellowship in the light just to say we're all in the light with God, right? Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, right now that we're standing, we've revealed, we're letting God burn this, come to the rescue. Sometimes it reveals things that we have to deal with. We need to apologize or confront or get help, right? Sometimes we have to do that. And once we do that, we make the amends, we do the right things, nothing wrong with all of that. Once we do that, then we can walk, right? Then we can walk in the light of life. So then verse 7, John's trying to tell us, guys of the ridge, what if we walk in the light as he is in the light? We have fellowship, not only with God, but with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me pull out a piece of that. Here's a warning to you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you know who? You know where the person's lying, where they're standing in this picture? If they're saying, I've got no sin, I've got no things I'm needing to deal with, you know where they're at, right? The shadows. They're not like fully in the darkness, because that person doesn't even want to talk about sin. They're like running and hiding. So most of the people in this room, where you're going to find us is in the shadows. Where the thing that God hasn't really burned out of us at this point, just to use that picture, we keep that back here in the shadows. And we say, we have no sin. And then we grab onto theological truths like, well, I'm no longer a sinner because I'm saved. That, sure, okay? But now live like you believe that's true. Jesus called you righteous. Jesus saved you. He made you a son of God, daughter of God, okay? He made you those things in identity, right? In position, in reality. Now walk in it like you believe it. Quit hiding in the shadows. You're deceiving yourself if you're in the shadows and you think there's nothing behind your back. What's behind your back? Oh, nothing, God. Everything's great. Hallelujah. Praise you. I love this part. You're deceiving yourselves. Because you're probably fooling some shadow walkers, right? Because you're all in shadows too. And we're just like, okay with that. Like, yeah, I see you carrying that box behind you. And I see one of your arms back there. So I don't know what it is. But that's okay. Can we agree not to call each other on our junk? Because you see my box too. And then we wonder why we're in the state of affairs we're in. Come on. Guys, churches aren't going to save us. The government's not going to save us. Jesus is going to save us. And really, at the end of the day, to all of you that God's talking to about this, just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe. No, like seriously, just breathe. Just breathe. God is here. And really the person we're hurting most in the shadows is ourselves. And the truth isn't in us. It's just, it hasn't got there because we're hiding. So if John's saying warning, then also he's saying in verse 9, do this. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He being who? Again, Jesus, right? God, Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like, now that you're in the light and you're not lying and you're not hiding, you're like, I did this awful thing, God. I'm walking out here because I'm changing my mind about this. This is not right, what I was doing. I'm changing my mind. I don't want to go back to that. Forgive me, Lord. And then he's like, you're forgiven. That's what happens. You're forgiven. And then here's exactly what happens. The voice of the world, the voice even of the people around you that you hurt, who are still struggling a little bit to believe you, right? They're going to tell you, it's not that easy. But let me drop truth bomb on you. Okay, here's the truth bomb. Here's what Jesus has told me a number of times. When you're out here, you've confessed your sins. You've rejected it. You've disconnected yourself with it. You're making amends for it. And there's that kind of like beating you down. No, that's not the voice of God. Because here's what the Lord has told me. And he's spoken into my heart. He's like, so Will, you did this and present it back to me. Uh-huh. Why won't you forgive yourself? Because somewhere along the way, it's like someone gave us this, like, you better not do that for 6 years, and then you're really forgiven. Right? But then Jesus is like this. Then he gets kind of mad with me. Like, Will, I bled on the cross, and I died for you. Right? I died for you. Is there any other action I could do bigger than that? Like, I gave up my kinghood. I didn't get to be married and be a dad and live out a comfortable life. Like, that was painful. I knew hunger. I knew lust. I knew fear. I knew pride. I knew joy. I knew sadness. I knew all of those things. I came down from heaven and I died for you. I bled. My heart burst in my chest because you were in porn, because you were drinking, because you lied, because you hid. Because you were depressed, because you're just so afraid you won't do anything, because you ate 7 candy bars. Like, I did that. Don't you think me dying, my heart exploding for you is enough? How dare you think you got to do something else? How dare you think? And see, if we really believe that, we would want to go back to that. We'd be like, oh, but instead it's like, okay, in the 6 years, I got to stop doing that, right? Don't eat 9 candy bars for 6 years. And then you feel that pull towards it. There's always that, oh, I don't know if I can make it 6 years, so go back in the shadows and eat a candy bar. The life with Christ should be so blown away that God himself would become man and let his heart explode to cover you eating your candy bars. Wow. Do this. Come out. Confess your sin. And the reality is the first go around, he's a good God. He's going to do it in layers. He's going to say, you got this going on, okay? And over time, and that's what talking to people who've walked with the Lord farther, they have certain things like they'll tell me like, Will, I can't even do that anymore. It's like a couple ex-smokers that Brandy and I knew. They were like, I used to smoke a lot. And then once I stopped, I finally got to the point where I can't even be around it. From someone who breathed in the smoke and smoked for years, then afterwards they're like, man, it just makes me sick to even be in a room with somebody who's smoking. I mean, that's like a real change, you know? And I'm not trying to vilify smoking. That's no better or different than the 7 candy bars, right? Okay? What I'm saying is God will change your mind. And I see this with my wife because she's farther down that road than me. And she'll be like, I just can't even listen to that. I can't even watch that. And you're like, really? But I think it's because you haven't sat in the light enough for God to show you and peel back layers. But first things first, we confess our sins, right? We stand in the light, we confess our sins, we feel the burn, right? We feel the burn. And then we believe what God said. And then what do you have to do, guys? You've got to get, right? Well, what was it in us when we pretended we didn't sin? The truth wasn't in our heart. So when you come out into the life, you got to get all the truth that you can get into your heart. What are good ways that you guys get truth? What's that? Worship? Yeah, worship. What other things? The word, right? Yeah, so like studying. That's the thing. Maybe we should explain it different when you first start out. It's kind of like, well, you should read your Bible every day so you can check the box on the envelope. But no, you should read the Bible every day because otherwise, if you don't know what's true, it's going to be easy to believe what's not true. It's just going to be easy. Like, YouTube is not true, guys. Like, all of it. So what's another way? We got worship, and the Bible, right? Reading, fellowship, yeah. Prayer, fellowship, discipleship, sitting under sermons like this, right? This is why we're coming together. This is why we do this, because God's rescuing us together. And when we come into the light, guess what? We get to have fellowship with each other. We get to have fellowship with each other and with God. So now he goes on to say in verse 10, do not do this. He doesn't say that, but I'm putting words to it, okay? He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Here's what's happened. You've come out into the light, is what John's talking about. And whatever came down on you, you know, the enemy, the darkness called out to you, and you were so down on yourself because you wouldn't forgive yourself that you ran back into this. Back into this and say, no, I already dealt with that. Right? Have you guys ever said this? I already dealt with that. No, it's not a problem anymore. But you're still in the shadow. Then what he's saying is, if then you say that you haven't sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Like his word, his truth hasn't penetrated past our heads. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, right? We stand, we feel the burn, and we begin to walk in a different way. The first thing is we have fellowship with God. This is what you were created for. And the reality, like young people don't quite get, most people don't, is as much as we love each other, there's just no guarantee that we'll always be together. Even in families, right? My kids are growing. I sure to God hope that when they're 30, they don't still live with me, right? I think that's not the order of things, okay? If you're 30, you still live with your parents, no offense. There could be circumstances around, I get that. However, you hope that it goes well and your kids grow up and go into the world, right? And you pray to God that you've shown them enough of the truth, right? And you pray to God that he brings other people into their life, okay? But so my kids can't be my hope. My fellowship with my kids pass away. Like the church, it can't really be your hope. Because we're all getting a little closer to glory every day, right? And so he might take us prematurely. We might make it to 90. He may come back on the cloud. I'm hoping for option 3. But one by one, we'll be sitting here celebrating your lives if we stay together as you get to graduate and go be with the Lord. So we can't even, our hope can't even be in each other. And the same thing for a spouse, man. They're just another person and they could pass away. They could, They could leave. They could fail. And they could definitely not see things the way that you see things. And they could definitely be on a different path with God. That could happen too. And all those things make it so that they can't be the one that saves you either. You need fellowship with God. And that's not in the shadows. And that is not in the dark. You hear his voice and you hear the world calling you. And you have a, as Brandy said, you have a feet in both camps. Then we also have fellowship with one another. Because we're in the light and we can be known and we're not hiding. And then it gives us real fellowship, agreement, living together, right? Like that's what Sunday morning 1 hour at church doesn't necessarily do. Like you've got to have that community of like-mindedness where you guys are walking this out together. And when there's a new thing revealed by the light in your life, these are the people that help you walk through it. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light, right? Oh yeah, it's true. It's true what you said, Lord. It's not only that burning, but it's like that, it's just that dripping, right? It's kind of a gory picture in our term, but I mean, it's just this reality that the blood of Christ like bathes us. And as it passes, then what's left is like a shining white. It's like Moses when he was in the presence of God and he came down off the mountain, right? Or Jesus at the transfiguration, being in the presence of that light, they glowed. And when we walk in the light, that's what's happening is it's burning. And if that's what, if this week you're burning right now because God's revealed the light, please stay out here and keep going. Just keep going. Just let it burn. And just bring it to God and let the blood cleanse you from all your sin. How does that feel? Good? Uncomfortable? Good and uncomfortable? That's a weird sermon, Will. Good. Good. There is a warmth in walking in the light. What's that? And a comfort. You guys know like that feeling when you did what God wanted you to do. Isn't that a great feeling? You pushed through the sick stomach of it and you did just the thing God wanted you to do. And that's the light, right? It's like our dog. Sometimes dogs have it figured out. That dog, it wakes up in the morning, it looks for the light. Look, he'll pull back the curtain. It's the weirdest thing, right? And it's funny. So one day I did that. I laid down there in the light with him. You know, not that I'm a big dog fan, but he just lays there like that in the light as it's coming through the window. And he just lets it bake on him. And then he gets kind of hot, and then he goes over in the shade, and then he plops down like he's going to die. And then he comes back. It's like he knows he needs that light. So there's no secret agenda here. This is the light. The light of God is shining here in this place now. And if you're open to it, if your head's not like stuck back in the corner here, that you might be willing just to let the light shine. And maybe today is just like day five of this light shining on you and you're trying to stay out in this. That I just want to pray for you. The worship team will come and play. And in the back there, Jackie's in the back. Cares Group B is here today to pray for you, the people around you. But I think the encouragement isn't something magic that's going to happen today, but that either maybe today would be a new thing revealed, a new call to step out of those shadows. Maybe today would be encouragement of what you've been walking through this week. And so spend this time just with the Lord. Spend this time with the Lord. And just let him be in the light. Feel the burn. Feel the warmth. Feel the cleansing of his blood. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I pray burning. Burning over those who resist, Lord. Burning for those who have just stepped out into the light. I pray that discomfort, I pray that the fullness of its work would happen. I pray that they'd be comforted by you, Lord, right now, that because now they're stepped out into the light where you're in the light. I don't know how you're going to do that, but I pray that you would comfort them and let them know this is exactly how it should go. Yeah. This is exactly, nothing's wrong with you. Nothing bad's happening to you. I'm just rescuing you right now. And Lord, for those of you, those who have been walking in that light this week, I pray you're in the light. I pray that you would give them the comfort of fellowship around them. I pray that you'd give them the comfort of your Spirit, Lord. And as you're continuing to just work things out in them, that you would let them see your love and your mercy and your joy for them. Lord, I pray that your voice would be so loud, all the voices from the shadows calling out would just be muted. And so Jesus, as pastor of this church, I know that you've brought me here for a reason, Lord, and so I just pray in all your authority and all power that you have, that you would just silence the darkness, that you would shut out the world, that no matter how hard darkness would try to call out for the people you have here and those online, I pray, Lord, your power and your presence over them in Jesus' name. I pray your protection, Lord. I pray your angel armies to knock aside every enemy that would try to come into what you're doing here, Lord. Do your thing here. Have your way. Bring your burn, Lord. Transform us. Change our minds, Jesus, please. So Jesus, pray your power, your presence, your work, your victory over this time, in Jesus' name.